So Shavuos coming up, we'll take a week or two to talk about Talmud Torah. There's a big push, and we'll maybe talk about this Shavuos night, if you're up at 4 o'clock, about getting psak from AI. Can you... This bug doesn't like AI either. Okay, can you get your psak, can you get your ruling from AI? Now that really depends on how important is it to have a Rebbe, a rabbi, who you trust, giving you a ruling. Meaning, can I just get my Torah from the internet? The Conservative Rabbinical Assembly has a very interesting website. I can't say I've studied it too often, but they've got psakim, psak. Some of them are probably semi-correct in terms of basic halakha. Can you get your halakhic sources
from AI or the internet?
Well, the AI is going to include the rabbinical assembly.
I mean, there's a site that says ask the rabbi, and then
he answers you. Okay, I'm not sure. If you're asking a rabbi, it's just through the internet. Then I'm not sure. But you get on any AI is going to, if you put in ChatGPT, you want a halacha. Yeah, so 99.9 of it is going to call probably from orthodox halachic sources. But I have no idea where they're going to take. For all you know, they take part of it. They calculate into the cheshbon. Conservative rabbinical assemblies suck him as well. So that gets into the algorithm or the brain or whatever it is, and it's going to incorporate it. There's a lot of Torah on the internet, which is written by people who are not necessarily Shomer Torah u'mitzvos in a way that you would feel comfortable with. And they also write on the internet the same way that YU publishes on the internet. So the question is, are you allowed to take Torah from someone, even if it's correct, from someone who is not a Shomer Torah u'mitzvahs? So the Gemara asks this question. This is not a newfangled concept. It's not talking about AI, but it talks about learning Torah from improper sources. Who is the classic example of the improper source? Acher went off the derech, Elisha ben Avuah, Rachmano Litzlan, went away from the Torah path and did horrible averas. And his Talmud was none other than Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, whoa, yo, Rabbi Meir, how could you learn from him? For Rabbi Meir, echi gomer Torah mi pumei d'acher. How could Rabbi Meir learn from Acher even after he went off the derech? Says the Gemara, I've got a problem with this. This doesn't make any sense. How could he do this? Because v'amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara in Chagiga, there is a Gemara in Moed Katan which says that a pasuk in Malachi says ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das v'Torah yivakshim ripiu, that we can only ask Torah and learn Torah from people who are ki malach Hashem tzavakos, someone who is a malach, someone who acts appropriately and conducts himself according to the Torah mitzvahs. So that's who you can learn from. So how could Acher learn from him? How could Acher Rameir rather learn from Acher? So the Gemara, after a little bit of a discussion, gives a very cryptic answer. It says, read you the exact language. It says, Lo kasha, it's not a problem. Ha begadol, ha bekatan. What does that mean? Ha begadol, ha bekatan. So simply put, it could mean that when you are an adult, you're a little bit more discerning in what you read. You're a little bit more conscious of good and bad when you're reading New York Times or whatever. You know, this is okay. This article I'm going to ignore, and this article I'm going to read. Maybe you could read the sports. It's probably the only thing which is safe in the New York Times. But, Oh, you're not even in the
weather.
New York Times.
The weather.
Oh, I have no idea. Okay, I can't say I've read the New York Times in a long time. But the weather, maybe fine. Maybe the weather. Weather is probably controversial as it is with the green and whatever. Okay. But the point is that, so you read something, you know, you're an adult. You've read it for a long time. You know how to discern between good and bad. But a katan, a young child, impressionable 12-year-old, might not be able to learn from such an individual. He would have to only learn from an appropriate Rebbe. That's one way to read this Gemara. Another way you could read it is gadol means someone who's advanced in his own studies. They could both be bar mitzvah aged, but one is already a Talmud Chacham, who's well experienced. He, like Rebbe Meir, was allowed to learn from Acher, as opposed to a less established Talmud Chacham, someone who's only been learning for a few years, he might not be so well versed in halacha. He needs to learn from a Talmud Chacham, a true Talmud Chacham. So great, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and you say, how do you paskin? Expecting Shulchan Aruch, it was a clear Gemara. Shulchan Aruch should make this distinction between Gadol and Katan. It does not. Shulchan Aruch says, very simply put, that the halacha is... The halacha is that there is no difference between Gadol and Katan. Shulchan Aruch says very simply, you are not allowed to learn from a Rebbe who is not appropriate, says Shulchan Aruch. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, we're going to have to define what a bad Rebbe is. Don't worry. We're going to get into it in a second. How are you all allowed to come to this year? Have you tested me? Have you asked me what my Yiras Shamayim is? I don't know, there's some people here who think I daven too fast. You know, if that's the case, I don't know. So now you're allowed to even learn from come to this chabura. Do you have to all walk out of this chabura? So comes along the Shach and says, I don't get it. Shulchan Aruch, you made this carte blanche rule, which says that you're never allowed to learn from a Rebbe who is not appropriate, who is an Avarian, who is not Shomer Torah U'mitzvos. And yet the Gemara made a distinction between a Katan and a Gadol. So why do you, Shulchan Aruch, ask the Shach not give this answer? So the Shach gives two answers. He says, answer number one, we all nowadays are considered a Katan. We have no knowledge. We are the greatest Talmud Chacham in our generation. Chaim Kanievsky could not have... It would have been like the lowest level could be awkward. It's hard to say this, but 800 years ago, it wouldn't have compared at all. Because the generations, we have Yeridas Adoros. Obviously, you're supposed to follow the Rabbanim in your generation. But there's a much lower of us. We continue to decrease and decrease in our level of godless and our level of Chachma. So therefore, says the Shach, writing 400 years ago, or whatever, 500 years ago, give or take, 400 years ago, says that All people nowadays are ketanim. So therefore, everyone, Shulchan Aruch doesn't distinguish. You're never allowed to learn from a bad, inappropriate Rebbe. That is answer number one of the Shach. Answer number two of the Shach is that the Gemara has other opinions in the Gemara, and therefore maybe only Reb Meir had permission to learn from Acher. Others would not have this heter. It was a unique heter for Acher and Reb Meir. Everyone else would be forbidden.
Was he in Talmud before he became Acher?
It is a great question. He was, but still, once he went off, it was no suffix. Acher was an easy case, because we're going to debate, we'll see in the next few minutes, we're going to debate who is considered bad, who is considered good. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you want to throw names, we can make it really exciting. But the point is that Acher was a clear-cut example. Acher, everyone knew, was bad, and yet Reb Meir still learned from him. Says the Shach, says Shulchan Aruch, that's a nice heter. It doesn't apply nowadays. We're all considered ketanim. Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any distinction. You are not allowed to learn from a bad rabbi. Now, can anyone think of someone who is considered probably one of the greatest scholars, Talmidei Chachamim, that have been in Judaism, who throughout his books, at least some of his books, he quotes sources that were a little bit iffy. And I'll give you a hint. They burned his books. The Rambam. So I don't get it. You're going to tell me you're going to have to learn only from a good Rebbe. The Rambam himself learned from Aristotle, from Plato, whatever, or Socrates, I have no idea. But Rambam, as all Moreh Nevuchim, is replete with Chochmas Hachitzonis. So how could the Rambam himself... And you write in the Rambam, does he distinguish between Katan and Gadol? He does not. The Rambam also seems to say it's completely forbidden. So how in the world was the Rambam allowed to learn these outside sources? Comes along the Birkei Yosef and answers this question. He says, I don't understand. He says, Ach Anan, Manene, what are we supposed to answer, says the Chidah, the early 1800s. He says, Manene da Rambam Ovid Uvda Ben Avshei. Rambam did it himself. V'lamed mechachmas hachitzonis. He went from outside sources. He says, I don't understand. The Rav Ash tries to explain, well, maybe the Rambam relied on Rav Meir, that a Gadol, it's permitted to do so. Okay, so how come the Rambam doesn't make that distinction in his Mishnah Torah? He says it's always usser. In other words, the Rambam himself didn't even follow his own codification. Rambam says, always usser to learn from a bad rabbi, yet the Rambam himself learned from Svarim Chitzonim.
Well, you can use
so yeah, so what's the answer?
You can go even further back, Shlomo Melech.
Okay, so Shlomo Melech gets a little bit iffy. Okay, it's the time the Tanakh was a little bit different. Here you have the Svarim Arin though, but we have Gemara already. Make it easier. After the time of Gemara, after the time of Mishnayos, after everything is codified, you've got Talmud codified.
Everybody else, but I'm better than that. I think I can avoid.
So why didn't the Rambam then write that?
Yeah. You can't learn from a bad rabbi.
Yeah.
But Aristotle is not a rabbi.
Oh, so you want to say maybe it's... Okay, so first, so the Birkei Yosef...
There's a whole problem with the Hertz Chumash.
So, oh, we're going to get to one second. What about Jastro? We're going to get to... Comes along the Chidah, this Birkei Yosef, and he says, I'll tell you Pshat. He says like this. He says, the Rambam felt... That you know what Gadol means? I don't know why there's so many flies here. It's a very sensitive topic. Yeah, so new. Maybe it's a Gilgal event. Anyway, we have to be careful what we say. So what does Gadol mean? The Rambam felt that Gadol meant if you are a really, really, really big Talmud Chacham, you are allowed to learn from whoever you want. But you have to be on the level of
the Rambam.
So the Rambam didn't write that in his book, in his Mishnah Torah, because Vim Kol Yomar de Gadol Shari. If he would have written that, oh, if you're great, then you're allowed to, what's going to happen? Kol Echad. Everyone's going to say, Yidme, I am great. B'daito ki Gadolu. V'yomar beba, we learn whoever we want. Avo Rambam iu gufo. But the Rambam himself, Yada Benafshe. He knew it himself. The Kulei Alma Modle. Everyone admitted ki hu gadol. Everyone knew the Rambam was the Rambam. V'diyaso machras. His knowledge is approves it. V'navsho osovia. So he therefore basically did. The Rambam holds that really, if you're on the level of the Rambam, that's what the Gemara means, gadol. You could learn from whoever you want. For the 99.99999999999999, as many nines as you want, percent of the world. In other words, everyone but the Rambam and maybe a handful, very few, handful of others. You can't learn from that because you're not on that high level, and therefore you have to be careful what you hear and perhaps what you read as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, a very, very common question, especially in your times, not so much in my times now, but anyone who's probably over the age of 70, this is probably a more of a shiloh in your youth than it is today. Can you have a conservative speaker come speak in a yeshiva or a shul? And nowadays, it's a joke. No yeshiva as a conservative speaker. But in 1950,
in those days,
give a drusha, right? Correct. That's what I'm saying. And in fact, my wife's great-grandfather had a huge Talmud Chacham, wrote Svarim, had smicha in 1900 from a seminary, because of JTS. It was Orthodox. She was Orthodox. Right. It was a very different way, 1900, 1910, whatever. It was early 1900s. So, for sure, there were, but you go to 1950 already, yeah? It's 1950. Okay, so let's assume he's semi-shoratov. You wouldn't need at his house. Let's leave it at that. You wouldn't need at his house, this Rav. But he wants to give a drush in the shul. Many communities nowadays, outside of New York, sometimes you have a switch. It's not so common. The rabbi will give a drush in the conservative shul on Shabbos. Conservative rabbi will give, supposed to foster, unity. Sometimes there's joint Eruv commissions. You go Google out-of-town communities. Not in New York and New Jersey, not in Lakewood. But if you Google in the middle of nowhere in America, sometimes there's a little bit more liberalism about this. So the shaila is, are you allowed to invite a conservative rav to give a drusha? And guess what? You check everything he's going to write. He writes to you the script, and you read the script before him. There is nothing wrong. He's simply quoting a Rashi and a Ramban ala Torah, and saying a hashkafa that could have been from a Beis Yaakov teacher. Yeah? But, he's not Shomer Torah Mitzvah. It's not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he is not allowed to give a drasha in your shul, because we draw a line in this Gemara. You have to be, in order to be a Rav, in order to teach Torah, you have to be someone who is Shomer Torah Umitzus. The Jewish Action, one of the great poskim of our generation, had a series upon this Nebuch when there was a whole issue, Amev and Yavin. People know there was a certain Rav in our communities, I mean, YU world, that unfortunately did a lot of horrible things. He was a big Rav in and unfortunately was found to be doing things which are Arayis, or as close to Arayis as possible. And, of course, he was thrown out of our community. But the question is, he gave a lot of psachim. He gave a lot of rulings. He may have written Svarim as well. Are you allowed to read those Svarim? So Schechter wrote in the Jewish Action, they interviewed Rav Schechter, and this was his ruling. We only follow a rabbi's ruling if he properly models Torah behavior. If he is a Baal Aveira, if he knowingly violates biblical or rabbinic laws, he is not qualified to teach and render halachic rulings. When members of the public become aware of his improper behavior, they may no longer rely on his judgment for any rulings, unless it can be verified that such rulings were rendered before the rabbi's sinful conduct began. Since it is often not possible to ascertain when these rulings were rendered, one should ask another rabbi for a new psak. So Schechter's psak in the Jewish Action. So the final question we got to deal with is, okay, so you can't hear a shir from an improper rav, or inappropriate rav. You can't learn in a yeshiva where the rebbe is not Shomer Torah Umitzus. But can you read a book by him? Books been vetted. There are many books that were written by people who are on the border of orthodoxy. If not, but they weren't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Would he eat at his house? Answer is probably not. But yet, some of their books are quite profound. A lot of good Torah in those books. So there is a tshuva by the Be'er Moshe, which I warn you in advance, you should be prepared to hear. It is a loaded tshuva, which basically means you're all forbidden to be in this shir as well. You all have to leave. I will read it to you. It probably won't translate one line or two, but you'll probably be able to understand it. I will be very clear. He asks like this. Now, the Be'er Moshe, I have to preface, was not in our circles hashkafically. He was a Debre Tzina Rebbe. He was a Hasidish Rebbe and a hardcore Baal Machlokas or Moshe Feinstein on many issues in the previous generation. He was very to the right of our, probably, Hashkafos. And he writes like this, Ministapakti, I'm not sure. Imshari Wilmod, are you allowed to learn Misifrayim from these different Hashkafos Svarim? He's not talking about people who are Baal, not talking about people who you wouldn't eat at their house. You would eat at their house kashrus-wise. But Hashkafically, he differed from them. Kol Elo Hatzionim VaMizrachim. You're allowed to learn from Zionists and Mizrachim. It gets worse. Afil Shlola Askushmam, even allowed to mention their name. And he quotes our Gemara. And then he goes and says, Vim Gain Mistaber, Shikamosha Asra Wilmod Mehem. Not only allowed to learn from them, Pet, oh Pet, you're not allowed to hear a shear from them. Kamokin Asra Wilmod Misifrayim. You're not allowed to learn from their books. Now, the Ein L'chalik Vomer, what you should take out of his tshuva is not his hashkafa, because we're going to go on and on. But what's interesting for our purposes is that someone who is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, he says you're not allowed to read their books as well. Now, how he defines an Ein Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, it obviously is going to include myself and probably 90% of this room. I don't know where you all went to yeshivas, but probably I'm looking around, I don't know. Yeah, probably you're at 100% of yeshivas in this room. I don't know where. Went to YU also?
Yeah.
Okay, so 100%. No, no, Chavetz Chaim, I don't know what he says about Chavetz Chaim. Okay, let's see, here we go. So maybe 99% of this room. He says like this. He says, you can't do it. He says, it's, Mashenken alongdim misifreim, you could say, maybe you read their books, Einshom Cheshashim Masem. You're not looking at the author, you're just looking at his content. When a guy stands up in front of the room, okay, so you're going to judge the way he makes a bracha. You're going to judge the way he stands, what he's wearing. Maybe that's forbidden. But to read a book of someone who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, He says maybe it should be permitted. Zetos muchlat. It's a huge mistake. Chad, number one. Deshapi eshlacha shiom emaseim. When you read a book, you're going to learn from the author. Akashir b'sefer gadluso b'torah. You're going to see how great he is by reading his book. Yet you're going to think v'yomer shebevadai b'koko gadol birer sheshari v'yos meach tzionim amisrachim chas v'shom. He says. You're going to come to learn from him because you read a book by a religious Zionist. You're going to say, that's Ashkafa, now I'm going to follow it. Oh! If you don't like that attack. He says, well, Marshall, I'll give you another example. Mi shiyoman mi sefer. If you learn from a sefer, shemechabro, that was written by Rosh Yeshiva, be'ezi yeshiva university, ve'yera rov b'kiyasso b'torah. Of course, you see, it's a brilliant sefer. I'm saying, you don't need to convince me. The godless of the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, Chas v'sholom, you're going to say, Yomer b'vadai shari. We also mean Mechanche Yeshiva University. That it's mutter to be a Rosh Yeshiva at YU. V'shari wilmod, and you're allowed to learn there. Me'achar sharav galdu b'toru kamosu, or me'berosh. The god is such a Rosh Yeshiva, so I'm allowed to go there. And he says, Shebe'emes pigol, or mesuavu. We won't translate those words. Can you do a meforsam, like everyone knows? I don't know. That's one problem. Also, an author of a book can throw something in the book that you won't realize. When you're giving a drasha, it's easier to discern when someone goes off the rails. But in a book, you can kind of like tuck in there improper words. So therefore, he says it is usher to learn misifreim shalat machine university, etc., which would mean that you have to leave the shir because I am obviously a Talmud of such a hashkafa. However, what you get out of this Ber Moshe, obviously, his hashkafa is different than ours, and we obviously don't follow this in any way. But the point that you do take from him is he's equating svarim as a magid shir. Meaning, and there is no difference between hearing a shir from an inappropriate person and reading a book. Now, Rav Schechter writes the same thing. I don't know if we're allowed to quote Rav Schechter anymore, but obviously he's my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim. Rav Schechter Shlita writes that although people see Marcus Jastrow's Aramaic dictionary, or people use, sorry, Marcus Jastrow's Aramaic dictionary for Talmudic and Midrashic terminology, and I was told that Jastrow was not Orthodox, that is different because that is an issue of translation and not psak. So Shacht already makes a distinction between reading translation versus halachic psak. Now, where you get a little bit murkier, let's say you read like hashkafic books. Like there are books, I think, about Kaddish and other books which are like philosophical. Let's use it in the realm of philosophy, which are written by people which are not Shomer Torah mitzvos. Is that considered permitted? That I'm not sure. Rav David Lichtenstein, famous, who writes the Headlines podcast, if anyone listens to Halachic Headlines, he cites a sefer Divrei Yirmiyah and others who say the prohibition is only for learning Torah from the mouth of a bad Rebbe, but maybe according to this Divrei Yirmiyah, reading the books would be permitted. Why? Because you don't learn as much by reading a book from the author's ways. You don't even know who the author is half the time. So therefore, even if there's something inappropriate, you're not necessarily going to learn that or imbibe that from reading the book. So the upshot of the Chabura today is that obviously we strongly support the yeshivas that we went to. In case that wasn't clear, I hope no one misunderstood or takes that out of context as someone who is a full YU product with 3 degrees from YU. I hope you understand that quite clear and quite proud of it. So that is obviously our hashkafa. But the lesson that you see from here is that, first of all, it's quite murky what's considered bad. Obviously, people take this to an extreme, which is not the way I would and you would have taken it. But what is true is that when you really are dealing with someone who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, the line here is very clear. You have to be very clear to make sure that you're not learning Torah from someone who is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. And when we have the Shomer Torah Mitzvos, obviously vague, someone who's clearly an Avarian, someone who doesn't keep Shabbos, you shouldn't be giving a shir in an Orthodox institution because you're going to learn from his behavior and stuff like that. So okay, midos, it gets a little bit murky again. So if someone doesn't do achnas orchem as you should, I will be honest, it is a very murky line. There are some things which are quite clear. Someone says drives on Shabbos, and says he drives on Shabbos not because he holds there's a grum in the car, but he drives on Shabbos because he believes Shabbos is antiquated and doesn't believe it. Martin Buber's of the world, whatever, who smoked on Shabbos as they're, you know, driving, sitting in a car, the famous stories of someone learning Pnei Yeshua in his car on Shabbos. That's what the Rebbeim always said. You know, he's someone who really is a big time of Chacham, but doesn't really keep Torah mitzvahs all. That's a clear cut answer. You don't learn from him at all. Once, obviously, you get into Ashkafas, then obviously it becomes more of a polemic. You're obviously allowed to learn from your Rebbeim and my Rebbeim, who are obviously tremendous Talmidei Chacham, don't need my Haskama, or we don't really need to defend them. Their words and their actions defend themselves. And so there, obviously, it becomes more of a polemic. But the upshot is a person should be careful when they learn from AI, because I have no idea who AI is taking from. But so even if AI is giving the correct psak, which of course is debatable and probably not true at this point for sure, and even if AI tells you something which is 100% correct, you have no idea where it called those sources from. So perhaps that is another problem. You want to hear more problems about AI, come to Shavuos night and we'll hear some topics.